Welcome to the Watchman Radio Hour, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, here in the beautiful Northwest. This is David Schultz, your announcer. The Watchman Radio Hour is a production of Watchman Radio Ministries International, an evangelistic ministry reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now here's our speaker, Alex Dotson, to bring you this week's message from God's Word.
In recent messages, we talked about a great revival that we believe will come to the Jewish people. The Bible points to such a revival in places like Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning to read in verse 24. Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning to read in verse 24, where it says this: "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." This was God's promise to Israel. We also looked at the woman of Revelation 12, and we said that she represented Israel. She brought forth the Christ child who ascended to the throne in heaven, and she went into the wilderness for a time, temporarily. And one day she will come back on the scene. And we believe that in the last days, Israel will be converted and come back on the scene and be a forefront of Christianity. We need to set our eyes on Jerusalem to complete the task of world evangelization and carry the gospel back where it all started. We turn to Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, and it says this: "And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Jesus said it'll all start right here in Jerusalem, and the gospel is to go into all the world. We're called to carry the gospel back to Jerusalem. We're called to go into all the world and evangelize the nations to complete our task and carry the gospel back to Jerusalem. This is what it's all about. And this should be our vision for the last days. The gospel began in Jerusalem, let us see, in the first place. Jesus came to Jerusalem. He was a Jew. He preached and taught in Jerusalem. He performed great miracles there. The cross was at Jerusalem. And the gospel began there. Again in Luke 24 and verse 46. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are to be witnesses, you are witnesses of these things." It began in Jerusalem, and the early church was centered there. Pentecost happened at Jerusalem. Peter preached his great sermon there in Jerusalem. In Acts 2:14, it says, "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen to what I say.'" And then in Acts 2:41, we see the results of his preachings. It says, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day, and it all happened in Jerusalem." The apostles filled Jerusalem with the gospel. In Acts 5:28, the high priest said, talking to the disciples, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name," he said, "and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." Many in Jerusalem believed on the Lord. Acts 6:7 says, "So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." And so Jerusalem, there in the beginning, became a center for the Christian faith. Many were believing. Many were putting their trust in Christ among the Jews. Secondly, let us see that we have a worldwide mission. And God gave the church there in Jerusalem an outward call. They were not just to stay there in Jerusalem, but they were to go out into all the world. And there was an outbreak of persecution that scattered the church there in the beginning. It was right after the stoning of Stephen. It says in Acts 8:1, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The persecution pushed the church out into the world, where they could carry the gospel to others. And then on to the Gentiles. In Acts 11:19 through 21, it says, now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to preach to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And so the gospel spread out from Jerusalem, out into Judea and Samaria, and then to other nations as well. And that's exactly what Jesus wanted them to do, to carry the gospel to the nations. He gave them the great commission before he went into heaven. In Acts 1:8 it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then in Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age, to the very last day. And so Jesus gave his great commission. He gave the call to the church to do no less than to carry the gospel to all the peoples of the world, starting at Jerusalem. And then let us see in the third place that we have a call to complete the mission. Now I want to talk a little bit today about the Back to Jerusalem movement. There is actually a Back to Jerusalem movement in China. Paul Hadaway and some Chinese leaders of the church in China wrote a book entitled Back to Jerusalem. And they described what that movement is. And this is what they said. Concerning the Back to Jerusalem movement, they said, it refers to a call from God for the Chinese church to preach the gospel and establish fellowships of believers in all the countries, cities, towns, and ethnic groups between China and Jerusalem. This is no small task, for within those regions lie the three largest spiritual strongholds that have yet to be conquered by the gospel, the giants of Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism. And then they also said in another place in the same book, you need to remember that when we speak about Back to Jerusalem, we are speaking about evangelizing the thousands of unreached people groups, towns, and villages located between China and Jerusalem. So their vision was no less than to carry the gospel to all of those peoples in those other places and other nations that had not heard the gospel, and to carry it all the way back to Jerusalem. Now, this movement began in the 1940s at the Northwest Bible Institute in Shanxi Province. Hadaway writes, it was in these beautiful surroundings that God gave a clear call to a small group of Christians led by Pastor Mark Ma, the vice principal of the institute. God challenged them to move beyond their evangelistic outreach to Muslims, to Buddhists, and to the scattered Chinese living in Gansu, Qinghai, and Ningxia provinces, and to consecrate themselves to the vision of carrying the gospel outside China's borders into the Islamic world all the way back to Jerusalem. Pastor Maz received an answer to his prayer as for the Lord to guide them and direct them what he wanted them to do. And we read what he says here again in the book, Back to Jerusalem. He writes, "Gradually the question arose as to what our group should be called. On the morning of May the 23rd, as I fasted and prayed about the name of the band, the Lord revealed the verse of Scripture to my heart. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." Matthew 24:14. And I said, "O Lord, what does this mean?" The Lord replied, "It is this. I not only want the Chinese church to assume responsibility for taking the gospel to Xinjiang, which is in northwest China, but I want you to bring to completion the commission to preach the gospel to all the world. I ask, O Lord, has not the gospel already been preached to all the world?" The Lord said, "Since the beginning of Pentecost, the pathway of the gospel has spread for the greater part in a westward direction, from Jerusalem to Antioch, to all Europe, from Europe to America, and then to the east, from the southeast of China to the northwest, until today, from Gansu on westward, it can be said there is no firmly established church. You may go westward from Gansu, preaching the gospel all the way back to Jerusalem, causing the light of the gospel to complete the circle around this dark world." And I said, "O Lord, who are we that we can carry such a great responsibility?" And the Lord answered, "I want to manifest my power through those who of themselves have no power." Pastor Ma wrote about his vision, and he said, "My hope is that our Chinese church will, with determination and courage, hold fast this great responsibility and, depending upon our all-victorious Savior, complete this mighty task and, taking possession of our glorious inheritance, take the gospel all the way back to Jerusalem. And there we shall stand on top of Mount Zion and welcome our Lord Jesus Christ, descending with clouds in great glory." Now, the Pioneer Back to Jerusalem team consisted of 2 men and 5 women, and one of the women's names was Grace Hole. And she also wrote about her vision that the Lord gave her concerning the Back to Jerusalem movement. And she wrote, she was attending, or it was written about her, she was attending an evangelistic meeting, and as the congregation rose to pray, she received a vision from the Lord. Her immediate surroundings faded from her vision, and she seemed to be standing alone in a vast, bright wilderness plain. In the distance, she heard a voice full of sorrow, painfully crying for help. And she looked, but saw no one, only the horror of great darkness from whence the sound of great anguish came. And then as she gazed, another voice spoke, a voice from heaven, deep with mercy and compassion. "The people in the darkness have no one to preach the good news to them." And greatly moved at the sound of that voice, the tears springing to her eyes, she replied, "O Lord, here I am." And then another of the women in that Pioneer Back to Jerusalem band was Ruth Liu, and she also received a vision. And this is what she said, "One day as I knelt in prayer, the Lord called me by name, and in a vision showed me the desolate, pitiful spiritual condition of the Northwest," talking about China. "I saw a multitude of lost souls in a mountain valley crying for help to save their lives. Having gone astray, they did not know how to find the true God who could save them. The voice of God said to me, 'My child, are you willing to go and save them?' And when this voice pierced my heart, without hesitation, I replied, 'O Lord, your handmaiden is willing.' your handmaiden is willing to obey your will. They had great faith. They had a great vision to carry the gospel all the way back to Jerusalem through unreached peoples. Bishop Houghton at that time wrote this about that pioneer group. He said, "The church in China has been stirred through the going forth of a group of Chinese workers from the Northwest Bible Institute. From a preliminary base in Xining, they are planning to go forward into Xinjiang, and thence eventually to carry the gospel through Central Asia back to Jerusalem. They show the marks of a divine call in their fervent abandon to do His will, and equally in a sensible, practical attitude which reminds one of Hudson Taylor. Their mission was not to be, however. They only planted a seed for later generations to carry on. As they began their journey to go into the Northwest and on to regions beyond, they were stopped by government officials due to political developments that were happening in the nation. And then the communists soon came to power, and the Christians had to go underground, and all the missionaries had to leave the country. Hadaway writes, all seemed to be lost, like the children of Israel who were so close to the promised land that they could see it with their eyes. The back to Jerusalem vision in the late 1940s and early 1950s was taken back into the wilderness to await a time when the workers would be better equipped to handle the great task laid before them. However, some of the band endured the persecution and are still alive. And as late as 2003, Grace Ho, one of the band, was in her 80s living in the heart of Xinjiang in northwest China, reaching out to Muslims, and continues to share the Back to Jerusalem vision with any Christian who will listen. Another group with the Back to Jerusalem vision was the Northwest Spiritual Movement, also in the late 40s and early 50s, and it was led by Simon Zhao. They also came under communist persecution before fulfilling their vision, and Simon Zhao was put in prison until 1981. Simon often prayed in those early days in prison, "Lord, I will never be able to go back to Jerusalem, but I pray you will raise up a new generation of Chinese believers who will complete the vision." Simon Zhao, in his final years, after he was released from prison, was invited to speak to the Chinese churches about his Back to Jerusalem vision. And that was mostly in the 1990s. He died in 2001. As he spoke to the churches and to the Christians in China, he inspired a new generation of Chinese Christians to take up the vision. And so the vision is now alive and well among thousands of Christians in China today. There is still a Back to Jerusalem movement in China, and it's growing. Brother Yun, one of the authors of the book, wrote, "The Back to Jerusalem missionary movement is not an army with guns or human weapons. It is not a group of well-dressed, slick professionals. It is an army of broken-hearted Chinese men and women whom God has cleansed with a mighty fire, and who have already been through years of hardship and deprivation for the sake of the gospel. In worldly terms, they have nothing and appear unimpressive, but in the spiritual realm, they are mighty warriors for Jesus Christ." We believe that as a result of that Back to Jerusalem movement, that God is going to bring about a great conversion of the Jewish people. The Back to Jerusalem vision will culminate with a spiritual awakening among the Jews. It's prophesied in the Bible. We have Paul's prophecy in Romans 11:23, where he says, "And if they do not persist in their unbelief," talking about the Jews, "they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." That's into the olive tree, their own olive tree, into the people of God. In Romans 11:25-27, Paul says, "I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, 'The deliverer will come from Zion, and he will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I will take away their sins.'" Here we have a promise of restoration for the people of Israel. And then we have Ezekiel's great prophecies. We turn to Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 17, where it says this, "Therefore say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you back the land of Israel again. And they will return to it and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. And I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. And I will remove from their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. And then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And they will be my people and I will be their God." And then we turn over to Ezekiel chapter 39, and we read this great prophecy in beginning in verse 25, where it says this, "Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will now bring Jacob back from captivity and will have compassion on all the people of Israel, and I will be zealous for my holy name. They will forget their shame and all the unfaithfulness they showed toward me when they lived in safety in their land, with no one to make them afraid. When I have brought them back from the nations and have gathered them from the countries of their enemies, I will show myself holy through them in the sight of many nations. And then they will know that I am the Lord their God, for though I sent them into exile among the nations, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind. And I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord." There's the promise. I will pour out my spirit on the house of Israel. The promise of an outpouring of God's spirit on the Jewish people. And so the gospel must be carried back to Jerusalem, where the task of world evangelization will reach its completion. Again, Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." We believe, as the testimony nears its end, that God will bring about a great spiritual revival among the Jewish people that has never been seen before. Before it's all said and done, Jerusalem will once again be a center for the Christian faith. Now I ask you today to pray for the furtherance of the gospel all over the world, that the task of world evangelization will reach its completion, and that multitudes will be brought into the kingdom of God before Jesus comes. Pray for nothing less, and pray also for a great spiritual revival among the Jewish people worldwide. Pray that God will do a mighty work among them soon. But how about you today? Maybe you're Jewish, maybe you're a Gentile. Makes no difference who you are. God is no respecter of persons. Have you heard the gospel message? Have you responded to it? Jesus came into this world to save people, just like you. He came to save people. He came to save you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." And we invite you today to receive Christ into your heart and life. In John 1:12 it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." And I invite you to come right now and pray this prayer of commitment. "Dear Lord Jesus, I confess that I have sinned in your sight. I come to you to receive your forgiveness and to accept your salvation that you purchased on the cross. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Help me to follow you always." Oh, Father, for those who prayed that prayer today, we pray that you will bless them, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that you would guide them always. And dear Father, we pray for an outpouring upon your Spirit all over the world. We pray that multitudes will come to know Christ. We pray for a great outpouring of your Spirit on the Jewish people. And we pray that multitudes among the Jewish people will come to know you before you come again. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope this week's broadcast has been a blessing to you. If you have any questions about Mr. Dodson's message, please write us. You may email us at info@watchmanradio.org. Our mailing address is Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. That's Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. You may listen to this broadcast at any time on the internet at www.oneplace.com. In the list of ministries, just select the Watchman Radio Hour. This week's program and previous programs are always available there for listening. Thanks for listening to the Watchman Radio Hour. We invite you to come again next week to hear another timely message from God's Word. We are Watchman Radio Ministries International, reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ.